This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, sitting in for Tony Perkins today. Tony, of course, is your normal host here on the Washington Watch, and he's also the president of the Family Research Council. Tony is away on an Alaskan cruise today, entertaining many folks that have association and commitment to the Family Research Council and its vision. I hope that you'll pray for him while he's away, and that it will also be a restful time as well as a time of investment. Well, I'm Ronnie Floyd, and I'm the senior pastor of Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas and the immediate past president of the Southern Baptist Convention. It is a real joy for me to sit in for Tony today, and I want to introduce to you someone in just a few moments who is one of the newest members of Congress, Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina, and he will be with us in just a moment. As well, in the state of Missouri, the NAACP has issued a travel warning for the state of Missouri because of a new law that attempts to curb frivolous discrimination lawsuits. Bishop E.W. Jackson will join us for that discussion. Today marks one of the saddest days on the Jewish calendar. Susan Hagee, president of Abundant Hope International, will tell us about Tisha B'Av and what all this means to the Jewish community. And the Ark Encounter in Kentucky is flooded now with all colors of lights. And founder Dr. Ken Ham will tell us about his attempt to reclaim the rainbow from the LGBTQ. Well, today's broadcast is going to be exciting. I want to thank all of you for listening today, and we really hope you'll tell your friends about our time together here this afternoon. Well, today we know that the president says that great things are happening with the economy, and they are. At a White House press event with a White House event with small business owners today, President Trump said the stock market is hitting record highs. And with us now is Congressman Ralph Norman. He represents South Carolina's 5th Congressional District, having won a special election this past June vacated by Mick Mulvaney, now Director of the Office of Management and Budget. He serves on the House Small Business Committee. Congressman Norman, welcome to the Washington Watch.
Well, thank you so much, Ron. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, Congressman Norman, what has it been like as now one of the newest members of the United States Congress?
Well, you know, we've all heard drinking from the proverbial fire hydrant, and that's pretty much what it's been like. I won the election on June 20th, June 27th, I was sworn in, and we were voting that night. So it was a interesting time. Karen Handel from Georgia came in the same time that I did. And so it's been a whirlwind, to say the least.
Well, I bet it really has been a learning curve. And thank you for what you're doing for our country, and thank you for representing the people of South Carolina and all of us here in America as well. You know, the president complained that the news media is not talking about economic gains enough. He said his administration is helping small businesses by killing job-killing regulations and pursuing bold tax cuts. Well, let me ask you this, because you have been involved in the small business world. You've been involved in also understanding what really drives the economy, which is and would be the small businesses of our country. Would you tell us today what you believe about the importance of the small businesses in America and their place in the United States economy?
Well, what's been an eye-opener for me, Ronnie, is, you know, I've got a core belief that government does not create wealth. Businesses do. Hmm. Businesses are the economic engine for this country, always has been, always will be, as long as we're able to preserve it and make make the American dream come through for those young people who want to start and those who want to get into it even at an older age. I'm a real estate developer.
Right.
And have been doing this for a long time. And, you know, there's a mindset in Washington that, you know, government is the economic engine. Mm-hmm. Government is what's slowing down the economy now. For the last mm-hmm. 8 years, it's been abysmal. Mm-hmm. And somebody like President Trump, who is a businessman, who understands how to create jobs for people, is really trying. And the media is not giving him a fair chance, nor do they want him to succeed. And I, you know, you look at his executive orders that he's done. You look at Neil Gorsuch, who is a conservative on the Supreme Court, who everybody said, you know, they doubted Trump's credentials from being a conservative. But he's made so many, many strides that really has gone unnoticed by the press because they want to talk about Russia. Mm-hmm. They want to talk about who he's hired and fired. Anything but to get on the core values of the core problems of this country, which is spending.
Yes.
And it's been a real eye-opener for me to have a front-row seat to this. And unfortunately, I think they're going to continue to do this.
Well, you know, Congressman, I heard the president just a moment ago looking back on various news media today. He talked about one of the roles he's done is eliminated so many restrictions. And he said, and I quote, that we're on the verge of the golden age of small businesses in America. Do you believe that today?
You know, I think the conservatives now control the House, the Senate, and the executive branch. The American people expect things to happen. And if we can do that and have the courage to do it, And the frustrating thing is spending is still out of control. And, you know, I just don't understand why we can't say no to spending. $20 trillion is not acceptable. The cruelest tax of all is debt. And I'm just not going to leave that for our children. I'm going to cast a vote at least use my votes for the other 434 people to say that. And it's a battle, I will say that. And it's going to take courage, and it's going to take God getting involved.
Yes,
we can't
no question.
Do it without God.
Well, I'm speaking today on the Washington Watch with Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina. And Congressman Norman, one of the interesting things, too, is that in all of this, we need to understand the value of jobs and business investment for the long-term future of our country. And as the president and the White House and hopefully the cabinet and the Congress comes underneath this, all of you together have an extraordinary opportunity for the American public. Obviously, we're in days of change. We're in days of transition. Here we are 24 hours ago, we were talking about the new chief of staff at the White House. Obviously, you've communicated with some of your colleagues today in some regards, even though you're not in session. But let me ask you, what is the general feel after these first 24 hours relating to what is going on today in relationship to those changes yesterday?
Well, you know, and the press has got a fixation on who he's hiring and firing. And, you know, he's president. He can hire and fire whoever he wants for whatever reason. I admire the president for making the decisions to do what he's doing. And he really wants to get the country back on track. And he really wants us, as in all the things that he has told Congress, he wants an affordable health care. He wants businesses to thrive. He wants to, through his executive orders, get rid of needless regulations. He wants to make us energy independent. Look what he's done on the Keystone Pipeline. And I could go on and on with the good things he's done. We just need a Congress that's got some backbone to back him up and not let the press dictate the latest news fad of the day. And it's not Hollywood actors who have made this country. It's small business, and I really hope that we can find the backbone through prayer, through people who to run for office who want to do what makes this country great, and that's forwarding the principles of free enterprise and entrepreneurship and less government, and that's why I'm doing this.
Well, I'm thankful that you're there, and I'm so grateful for your words. And Congressman, since you're one of the new guys on the block, so to say, tell me, have you had any surprises working in Congress?
Yes, the biggest surprise I've had is how much crony capitalism exists. You know, when you look at the healthcare debacle, and I am optimistic that we're going to come through with something. But, you know, when I saw what happened in the Senate, when it took the vice president to cast the deciding vote just to bring up the debate on healthcare, just to bring it on the floor of the Senate for debate, and then for them after that to basically not take any action, it's been a surprise. And you have to know that there are a lot of factors that play into it. And I think the insurance companies have got a vested interest. I think hospitals have got a vested interest. There's just so many people who are on the dole or making money with the health care system as it exists, and it's going bankrupt. You know, I hadn't talked to anybody yet that's got affordable health care and that can afford the premiums, much less, God help them if they get sick, with the deductibles that they've got. So that's been a shock, the money that rules Washington. And again, I think with the conservatives have a chance. But now we've got to make the right decisions. We've got to cut the things that need to be cut. And get this country back on track. Bankruptcy is not an option. But if we don't do something to cut spending, I think it'll come. I really do.
Well, Congressman Norman, let me bring us to some moments of conclusion here. And in just a few seconds, I'd like for you to articulate what can the American people do right now? You're from South Carolina. You represent South Carolina. But what can all of America do about where we are in this country? I want you to give me what you feel in about 20 to 30 seconds, if you could. What's on your heart the most?
What's on my heart is for the voting public to contact their congressman and tell them the conservative principles that made this country great. And more important than that, they need to pray. It's not going to happen unless... we pray, unless you put faith back into politics. I think Trump's election was an answer to prayer, and let's don't squander it. And if we do those two things, be a voice for the free enterprise system and pray, I think we can get this country back on track. I do not.
Absolutely, and I concur. Congressman Ralph Norman, thank you so much for what you're doing in our country. We're really grateful for you, and thank you for being on the Washington Watch this afternoon. And speaking of the Washington Watch, we're about faith and family and freedom. And in just a moment, we're going to be talking about what's happening in the state of Missouri. Can you believe it? The NAACP has issued a travel warning for Missouri. We'll tell you why when we return on the Washington Watch.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we visit on one of the days on our tour of Israel is the Shepherd's Fields. Now, this is a place in Bethlehem. You can look out on any given day and see shepherds with their sheep, as if it were 2,000 years ago during the birth of Christ. So that's a very special place that we visit. Yeah, the terrain would be the same. You can just picture yourself being there the night the angels sang about the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. So if you would like to join us on our March 8th through the 16th tour of Israel, we'd love to have you. Just go to the website, twholyland.com, for more information. www.twholyland.com, or for a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call us at 800-FAMILIES. That's 1-800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5.
In America today, religious freedom, national borders, and even traditional gender roles are in peril. With all that's happening in our world, our nation is in desperate need of a return to conservative values. Hello, I'm Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of American Family Association. One of the best ways we can make a difference is with our vote. That's why each year the American Family Association is a sponsor of the Values Voters Summit to help increase cultural engagement. This year's Values Voters Summit will be October 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. The growing list of confirmed speakers includes people you hear on AFR, like Ed Battagliano and Tony Perkins, as well as Michelle Bachman, George Barna, Gary Bauer, the Benham Brothers, and more. The Values Voters Summit is sponsored in part by AFA Action. To learn more and to register, you can visit valuesvotersummit.org.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Hollywood has been making superhero movies for a long time, but in the last few years, the sheer volume of them has increased dramatically. There's often more than one out at the same time. So, what is it about superheroes that fascinates us? The details change from film to film, but the plot lines don't. Someone who is stronger than everyone else battles against evil and saves humanity against all odds. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that, in a nutshell, is the gospel. Colossians 1:13 tells us that God rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In fact, you could make the case that Jesus is the only real superhero who ever walked the earth. You can get Anchor Devotional delivered to your home in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
Last week, the Missouri NAACP issued an advisory that tells travelers to be careful while in the Show Me State because of a danger that civil rights won't be respected. Why? Because our new legislation requires workers who claim discrimination and wrongful termination suits to prove that bias was the explicit reason they were fired. Joining us now is E.W. Jackson. He's the president of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny. He's a conservative, a bishop, Marine Corps veteran, and Harvard Law School graduate, and he's no stranger to this issue of race relations. Welcome back to the Washington Watch, Bishop Jackson.
Well, thank you for having me, Ronnie. Appreciate that.
Well, you know, the supporters of this new legislation say that the changes are designed to reduce frivolous lawsuits and improve the state's business climate. Well, Pastor, let me ask you this question today. Is there any room for racism at all in our culture today?
Well, no, there's no room for it. And Ronnie, what has happened here is that the NAACP and many other so-called civil rights organizations have long since left the noble pursuit of civil rights for people, and they're really now involved in partisan politics, and they mainly represent the left of the Democrat Party. And so they're forced to create issues where there are none. I mean, the fact of the matter is it was a mistake legally to make it possible to show racism by results rather than by action on the part of an employee or others. And we're finally, some state, Missouri in this case, is finally getting back to proof that something wrong was done rather than being able to make the allegation. And by the allegation alone, almost, you can extort money from people.
Very interesting. Well, you know, Bishop Jackson, one of the things that we have to be aware of, and you're aware of this, and that is that racial injustice, it's real. But on the other side, is it that racial injustice is occurring, or is it just simply pushing a liberal agenda in our country?
Well, it's been used now to do that, of course. Racial injustice is real, just like injustice is real in general because we are sinful human beings and we make mistakes and we have bad judgments and sometimes even just explicitly do things wrong. But it doesn't make every issue an issue of race. And this is unfortunately what's happened. Now, everything comes down to race. You know, I have a very simple formula for resolving our problem in this regard in 2017. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
That's
and it
good.
Seems to me if we would all just do that, we wouldn't be constantly going around and around and around on often specious allegations of racism.
I'm speaking today on the Washington Watch with Bishop E.W. Jackson, the president of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny. Now, Bishop, I have another question about race relations today, and it's a relevant question all the way through and through. What do you think the church can do about race relations in the United States? What should be our role as those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ as the Son of God?
Well, the first thing, Ronnie, is to make sure that we understand that racism is not the problem of white people, that racism is simply a symptom of a deeper problem, and the deeper problem is sinfulness, and the only antidote is Jesus Christ. And we all, in one way or another, can or have suffered from it. So if we stop playing the blame game as the church and start saying, let's do what Jesus commanded us to do. Let's love one another and show our fellow countrymen what it means to love one another and to live in complete disregard of the color of our skin and to focus instead on our Christian character and trying to do what Jesus commanded us to do. I think it would be an example that could spread like wildfire, if you will, and catch the hearts of our fellow citizens.
I think you're exactly right, and I so appreciate your heart and your perspective on that and agree with you completely. When you look at the administration today, EW, what are your thoughts about how the racial relations are being addressed by the present administration in the White House?
Well, I think they're doing the right thing in this sense. They're reaching out and talking to people of Americans, of African descent, Alfreda King, Daryl Scott. I could just go down the list of people who the president has really pulled in and is taking their counsel and listening to what they have to say. And it seems to me the best thing the president can do is what he's doing. Just make sure that he's not hearing from one set of voices alone, but that he's hearing from a whole variety of people who are bringing perspective. I can't think of anybody in the country who is in a better position to advise on this matter than Dr. Alfreda King. And the president is listening to her. I think if he keeps doing that, as well as others, that are sort of, you know, been called into a council of ministers for him, I think he will do very, very well in the black community.
Well, EW, I think you're right, and I've seen growth and advancement in that over the course of the last year or so, just watching, and I realize that people want to see immediate results, but, you know, here's what we have to understand is we didn't get where we are overnight. And it's going to take time, it's going to take prayer, it's going to take commitment of many of us who are deep people of faith to do what is right. And I want to thank you for doing what's right, Bishop.
Well, Ronnie, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against racial identity. We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, if Christians would actually take that truth to heart, we would realize that the problem is ultimately not race. The problem is sin, and
that's
what we
right.
need is the blood of Jesus and the Holy Ghost to help us overcome it.
Thank you, E.W. Jackson, president of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny. In just a moment, we're going to be coming back, and we're going to be talking today about the saddest day on the Jewish calendar. It's a time to reflect on the Jews who have been killed over the years in a number of tragedies, and a time to pray for the building of the Third Temple. We'll talk with Susan Hagee, president of Abundant Hope International, who is in Israel today.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, if we don't know anything else, we know one thing for certain. The markets really don't care what happens in Washington. They've proven that over and over and over again. That would be because we've got markets that are driven by true underlying fundamentals of the economy that continue to get better and better. We have seen even GDP growth, the highest we've seen in the last 8 years for certain. So good news all the way around, and that continues to drive what we have been seeing in the markets. They're not driven by false positives, not driven by the Federal Reserve, not driven by government legislative process that is going to do something to encourage markets. The markets are where they need to be, which is based on fundamentals. We did get consumer spending out. It was only up slightly, 0.1%. Personal income was unchanged. So with consumer spending up a bit, personal income unchanged, that means the saving rate ticked down once again to 3.8% from 3.9%. This is the fourth month in a row that we've seen the savings rate drop, and that's a little disappointing. We don't want to see that. We want to start to see that turn back around. I hope it does, but we'll have to see what next month brings. We're still waiting for construction spending, manufacturing numbers, and of course, job numbers, non-farm private payrolls. That's what everybody's going to be waiting for. I think it's going to be a very good number.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to the Washington Watch. I'm Ronnie Floyd, sitting in for Tony Perkins. We want to encourage you to follow Tony on Twitter by going to T. Perkins, at T. Perkins. And I hope that you'll also follow me while you're on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, at Ronnie Floyd, at Ronnie Floyd. Stay in touch with us. We want to hear from you here on the Washington Watch. Well, today marks a solemn day in the Jewish calendar. It's Tisha B'Av. Jewish people mark the day with prayers and by fasting. A time to reflect on the Jews who have been killed over the years in a number of tragedies. Millions are paying tribute to them with prayers, fasting, and readings from the Torah at synagogues across the globe. With us now is Susan Hagee, the president of Abundant Hope International, based in Akko, Israel, north of Jerusalem. Susan, we welcome you to the Washington Watch today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, Susan, you work with Holocaust survivors, very involved there in Israel. And I want you to explain to all of our listeners today why this day is important and why Christians should be supportive of our friends in Israel.
Well, the destruction of the First and Second Temple is the main reason that they observe this day with fasting. And the readings that they have in the synagogues are only sad readings. Mm. They do not read anything on this day except for Lamentations and other sad readings. And the interesting thing is most Christians don't realize that Lamentations is the prophecy of the Holocaust. When you have verses in there that say, our skin is hot as an oven, that the women are cooking their children, that the children are saying to their mothers, where is bread? And they faint like wounded men in the streets. It's a description of the Holocaust. And the Holocaust has been in several different things besides the destruction of the temple. The Jews being expelled in Spain. The Jews being expelled from England. All of it happened on this day. It's a day of tragedies. But, what I find very interesting is the Jewish people, and especially the Holocaust survivors, look at this day differently than I would as a sad day. It is a sad day for them, yes. But their desire and their wish is that the Messiah will return on this day to turn their mourning into joy, just like in Isaiah 61. This is that what they look forward to on this day. They hope the Messiah returns.
Hmm. Well, Susan, let me ask you this question. Why don't you tell us about what you do over there with Abundant Hope International in relationship to working with the Jewish people?
Well, the Holocaust survivors are, for the most part, a forgotten people. Most people in the world don't even really know about the Holocaust. I've actually had people ask me, what do you do? And I say, I work with the Holocaust. They ask me if it's a new movie or a new video. Mm-hmm. They don't know. So education is important to me, and the only way I can educate is to get to know these people. And how do you get to know someone? You find out what they need. And so that's what we do. We bring them abundant hope. We go in and we find out what they need. If it's fixing the plumbing in their bathroom, we do that. Painting their apartment. Bringing them some joy by, we give flowers on their birthday. It's a very important day. Mm. And we have events, concerts. But the survivors are getting older, and they can't leave their apartments, many of them. So how in the world are they supposed to meet people or do anything? Well, we have a house in Akko where volunteers come. And the volunteers help us by either cleaning in their homes, visiting in their homes, bringing music to their homes because they can't go to a concert. So we bring the concert to them. Mm. We replace the heirlooms that they lost. Whatever it is they need, as long as we can honor them, that's our goal.
Well, thank you for honoring them. And, you know, Susan, we go to Israel quite often, and we'll be there next July on the 5th through the 14th. I'll be taking a group from America. Being in a one-day conference over there in a special way with Joel Rosenberg and with Ann Graham Lotz, and we look forward to that experience, always going to Israel. In our final minute or so, let me ask you this question. What kind of relationship and why should Americans be supportive of Israel?
Well, the only way that you're going to get blessed is if you bless the Israeli people. Genesis tells us that in 12:3. But you would be amazed at how glad they are to know that anyone cares about them. They cry. We go and we tell them we love you, and they cry. Mm. Americans need to make a difference here in Israel. They're God's people. Jesus is Jewish. We have to remember that. Mm. It's his people. And I would like to invite you to come to our house and visit survivors and bring your people.
Well, thank you, Susan. Well, it's great to talk to you today. And we want to thank you on the Washington Watch for all that you do. And so what a joy it's been today to talk with Susan Hagee, the president of Abundant Hope International over there in the country of Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the people of Israel. In just a moment, we're going to come back and we're going to be talking to a very interesting personality. In fact, we recently had him at Cross Church, where I serve here in Northwest Arkansas as a senior pastor. His name is Dr. Ken Ham. Have you heard of the Creation Museum? Have you heard of the Ark Encounter there in Kentucky? Well, recently he has bathed the life-size Ark in a rainbow of light each night in an attempt to reclaim the colors of the rainbow from the LGBT activists and the leftist agenda. Well, we're going to find out how that's going today. Join us in a moment as we talk with our good friend, Dr. Ken Ham, when we return.
What does a children's playground have to do with the Supreme Court? A lot. In April 2017, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case of religious discrimination against Missouri's Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity has an adjacent playground that needed refurbishing, so the staff applied for a Missouri grant program. In an odd twist, state officials denied Trinity's request. When the church asked why, they were told the state constitution barred the public treasury from aiding any church, section, or denomination of religion. That hardly seemed fair to the church, whose children at the daycare and preschool need just as much outdoor padding as other school children. This is just one of hundreds of religious liberty violations that have occurred in the United States, and FRC is at the forefront of the movement to preserve, protect, and defend religious liberty. In a newly updated publication, we catalog the growing threat to religious liberty with a comprehensive report of documented accounts of religious liberty violations that have occurred in the last 17 years. Go to frc.org/hostility for this exclusive publication.
Operation Christmas Child's 9,000 volunteers nationwide say it's never too early to talk about Christmas. Their 2016 year-round efforts in community, church, logistics, prayer, and media made it possible for millions of children to hear of Jesus' love through a gift-filled shoebox. To learn more about local year-round opportunities to make disciples around the world or to apply, visit SamaritansPurse.org/volunteer with OCC.
Many in America seem to have forgotten that its foundation was built on God. In this 40th year celebration of the American Family Association, we invite you to help us remind America once again of the truth behind our national motto, In God We Trust. You can do your part and display your faith with an In God We Trust car decal from the AFA store. Order yours today with free shipping at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Who says you can't have your cake and eat it too? If you're like a lot of people, you would like to support the culture-changing efforts of the American Family Association. But there's the very pressing reality that your income must meet your current needs as well as act as seed for future income, either for the short term or for life. A charitable gift annuity might be your answer. A charitable gift annuity offers a unique method for both planning ahead for permanent income and supporting the work of the American Family Association. An AFA Foundation representative will walk you through the details of creating a charitable gift annuity, allowing you to decide if a charitable gift annuity is right for your individual financial situation. Connect with us today by calling 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit us online at afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to the Washington Watch today. My name is Ronnie Floyd. I'm the senior pastor of Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas. We're grateful that you've joined us here today, and we're waiting to talk in just a moment to Dr. Ken Ham. And he has now joined us on the line, but let me just share this word briefly. We had Dr. Ham recently in our church. Our people loved him. He did an outstanding job. We're so thankful for what he's doing to the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. And speaking of the Ark Encounter, it's a world-class theme park in Williamstown, Kentucky, featuring the most authentic, full-size replica of Noah's Ark in the world. It's now lit with a rainbow every night. And as you might imagine, the left has come unhinged. Founder Ken Ham and the president of Answers in Genesis, development of the Creation Museum, joins us. And Dr. Ham, thank you for being on the Washington Watch today.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Ronnie, it's great to be with you, and it's great to be with you in your church recently, too.
Well, thank you, friend. Well, you tweeted recently, Christians need to take back the rainbow as it signifies God's covenant with man after the great flood. Ken, why don't you take a moment and just explain to our listeners what the Bible and its role about the rainbow and where we find ourselves today in the American culture, which is 180 degrees different than what the Scripture says.
Well, you know, Ronnie, we're losing our culture from a Christian perspective, and we see the secularization of our culture, and we certainly see the LGBTQ movement, which is really represents a small percentage of the population, but having such influence on the entire culture and leading generations astray. And, you know, associated with them, they have the rainbow flag, although they have six colors. But the original rainbow flag for the LGBT movement goes back to 1978. And so you're talking about 39 years ago when an artist in San Francisco came up with the idea of a rainbow flag. 39 years ago. And if you look in the Bible, about 4,300 years ago, after the flood, God told Noah that when the rainbow appears in the sky, that we are to remember is to be a sign between God and of the covenant between God and the animals and God and Noah, that there would never again be another global flood. a reminder that God did judge with a global flood, and it was because of the wickedness of man, I'm sure as wicked as the Canaanites and all their sexual perversion and so on, every thought of their heart was evil continually. And, you know, because the rainbow was given as a reminder for us about God's covenant and to remind us that God's word is true, and the rainbow today has become so associated with a movement that is so anti-God, anti-the Bible, anti-Christian, that I just believe this time we stood up in the culture and said, you know what, we're taking the rainbow back, because as Christians, if we don't do something about those that are continually pushing their anti-God agenda on the culture, we'll continue to lose our culture. And so we decided that the life-size Noah's Ark, which is 1.5 times the length of a football field, it's a massive ark, as you know, and it spans 7 stories high, 10 stories at the bow off the ground. And so every night we've lit it with the colors of the rainbow as a sign to the world that God's word is true. And I tell you, when we did that and I tweeted that we were taking the rainbow back and we have permanently lit the ark with the rainbow, my Twitter blew up by LGBT supporters and the LGBT people, and they accused me of hate. They got on my Facebook, accused me of hate. And you know the interesting thing? The posts I saw, the tweets I saw, were so hate-filled, full of expletives, sexual perversion, blasphemy, and they're the ones that showed incredible hate to me, accusing me of hate because we're reminding people that 4,300 years ago, God told us what the rainbow meant. And so it just shows you the anti-Christian sentiment in this nation and the vitriol that's growing against Christianity. And we need to be bold and stand up for God's word.
Absolutely. And you know, Ken, as you well know, there's only one antidote to that vitriol in their hearts, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't really matter whether it's someone from that movement or someone who is involved in some other movement or people like you and me who find ourselves in need for Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that's why years ago we gave our lives to Christ, we repented of our sin, and we turned by faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And I want to thank you for standing on the Word of God, for standing and believing and trusting God to take care of you. And in this challenge, Ken, in our culture today, are there any other symbols that you believe have been kidnapped by the leftist agenda in the country?
Well, you know, and by the way, before we talk about that, let me just say that when people come to the Ark, the other aspect of the Ark is, just like you said, my favorite exhibit is inside on the second deck where the big door that we have, the one door in the side of the Ark, has an illuminated cross on it. And it's a reminder to people, as Noah and his family went through a door to be saved, we need to go through a door to be saved. And it really is a picture of salvation, a picture of Jesus, which is why the enemy, those against Christianity, so hate the Ark. You know, one of the things that Ronnie, that we have seen in this culture, and this is something that I think Christians need to wake up to, is this idea that any Christian symbol is considered, you know, oh, you're imposing your religion on the culture. And you've got people like the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which call themselves a group of unabashed atheists that are bullying people all across this nation to try to get Christian symbols out of this nation, symbols like the cross and the Ten Commandments, nativity scenes and so on. And people need to wake up to the fact that there's no neutrality. You know, the Bible says you're either for Christ or against. You walk in light or you walk in darkness. And what we're seeing being imposed on this culture is really the religion of atheism. When the Freedom From Religion Foundation, for instance, get crosses removed from a place or, you know, some other symbol of Christianity, they say, you know, you because of separation of church and state, supposedly, you can't have a Christian symbol here. But then when you remove that, they've now imposed their religion on the culture. And we need to wake up to the fact that secularists are continuing to impose their religion on this culture, and we're seeing them capture generations of our young people with that secular, atheistic worldview.
No question about it. And I want to ask you this, because a lot of our listeners today may not be familiar with the Creation Museum or the Ark Encounter. Why don't you take a brief moment and tell us what it's about? Tell people how this came about. But why don't you take a minute or two today to just tell us a story and about what's happening there at the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter?
Well, you know, one of the things that we wanted to do was to do something in a different sort of way to reach this culture with the message of the gospel, the message of the truth of God's word. And, you know, we have the local church that has all sorts of missions and programs to do that. But there are also increasing numbers of people that today wouldn't even go to church. You couldn't blow them into church with a stick of dynamite. And how do we make a very public statement, and particularly in a culture where we see such, brainwashing from the public education system, because the message of God's word and the gospel has been edited out by and large of our public schools, and we see such bias in the media. We see that all the time. They will, I know in regard to us, the secular media make up all sorts of untruths and mischaracterize us in all sorts of ways. So what we said was, why not build Christian attractions, themed attractions, that are the quality of Hollywood or better, but that actually stand boldly for God's word and the gospel. And I had this burden to build a Creation Museum going back 40 years ago in my teaching days in Australia. And so we opened the Creation Museum in Northern Kentucky in 2007. And it's really a walk through the Bible using animatronic dinosaurs, animatronic people, life-size exhibits, planetarium, special effects theater. We have other theaters, gardens, petting zoo, zip lines. It's a family-friendly attraction, but it presents the gospel. You can't go away from there not having heard God's word and the gospel. And then we said, how do we take this to a whole new level? How do we even make a bigger statement to the world? And, of course, you know, one of the most asked questions I've been asked around the world is how to know if it all the animals on the ark. And of course, the flood was a major event in the history of the world. So how do we reach people? Well, just about everybody around the world has heard of Noah's Ark. Let's build a life-size ark, answer the skeptical questions people have, show people that this really existed, and let them see an ark actually built of wood, designed as a wooden ship that built as a building for tourists to come in, the actual size of the ark in the Bible, and then walk people through and give them all sorts of exhibits and make it, again, the quality of Hollywood or beyond, and I think it's beyond Hollywood, to be honest. And we did that, and we have people coming from all over the world. And I tell you, the secularists are up in arms. They hate the Creation Museum. They actually hate the Ark because here are Christians doing something that they think should only be used by the secular world, that, you know, Christians have no right to have themed attractions to get their message out. In fact, a few years ago, we also had a program where we said, we're taking dinosaurs back because, you know, God created all the land animals, and dinosaurs are just a particular subgroup of the land animals, and the secularists got so upset, and we have a big emphasis on dinosaurs at the Creation Museum to explain them from a biblical perspective, and the reason they got so upset was because it's like, they own the dinosaurs. They use them for evolution and to teach people the Bible is not true. No, we're taking dinosaurs back, we're taking the rainbow back, and we're using themed attractions to reach the world with a message that, by and large, is being edited out of the culture.
I'm talking to Dr. Ken Ham here on the Washington Watch. I'm Ronnie Floyd sitting in for Tony Perkins today. Dr. Ken Ham is the president of the Creation Museum, Answers in Genesis, the Ark Discovery. Let me ask you this, Ken. How many people are coming through those two great, wonderful opportunities there where you are in Kentucky?
Actually, I'm really pleased you asked me that for this reason. The secular media, much of the secular media, and the secularists, the secular bloggers out there are so upset with the Ark and the Creation Museum. They've been telling everyone they're failing and nobody's coming and there's nobody there. But anyone who's been to the Ark, and they post on my Facebook all the time, they'll say, it's incredibly crowded. The museum is incredibly crowded. In fact, in the first year of the Ark opening, we just celebrated our first year, We had about 1 million people come to the Ark, and in the second year, it's going to be somewhere between 1 to 2 million people because we didn't open until halfway through the summer last year.
Amazing.
We've already had well over 3 million people come to the Creation Museum, but since the Ark has opened, the Creation Museum number of visitors has, on many days, it's tripled, doubled, some days even quadrupled. And, for instance, this past Saturday, we had 10,000 people, over 10,000 people at both the Ark and the Creation Museum. Even today, as we're speaking, we have, between the Creation Museum and the Ark, about 7,000 people. And, you know, this is not a weekend day when on a Saturday you have the biggest crowd.
Right.
We have thousands of people every day pouring in. They come from countries all around the world. They come from all across the USA. And because these places are so successful, again, the secularists actually try to make out that nothing's happening. They don't want people to know about it. And the more they tell people not to go and that supposedly nobody's coming, the more people come. So in the end, it ends up being great advertising for us. You know, like the Bible says, what men meant for evil, God means for good. And I encourage people to go to arkencounter.com. They can find all about the Ark Encounter, and they can find out all about our attractions and what we're doing to reach the world with the gospel message.
Well, that is an outstanding testimony, Ken. And I want to bring closure to our time together here. We only have about a couple of minutes at the most with you left. And I want you to tell people today about the door. What does that door symbolize? How they can enter the door and enter into a brand new relationship with a living God. Would you talk for a minute and a half to 2 minutes about that before we tell our listeners goodbye for the afternoon?
Sure. In fact, this is really our heart. This is our heart as a ministry. Yes, we talk about creation evolution. We talk about the age of the earth and fossils and so on. But our heart is this message of the door. And, you know, think about it. When God told Noah to build the ark, he told him to put one door in the side of the ark. And then only those people who went through that door were saved. And it was Noah and his family. And then God shut the door, and then judgment came. You know, we sinned against the holy God. We're descendants of Adam, and that's why we're sinners, because Adam rebelled against God, and he was the head of the human race. And because of his sin, death came into the world. That's why we die, and our bodies die, but we're made in the image of God. We have a soul that lives forever. We'd be separated from God forever, but God had a plan from eternity. He stepped into history in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the God-man, the perfect man.
Absolutely.
To die on the cross, be raised from the dead. And so all those that trust in him will spend eternity with him. And he said, I am the door. By me and
Amen.
Any man enter in, he'll be saved. And that's what it's all about. And that's why we built the Ark and the Creation Museum, because we challenge everyone, you need to go through that door to be saved. God's a God of judgment. He judged people, judged the wickedness of man in Noah's day. But he's a God of salvation and a God of grace. He wants us to be saved. Jesus is our Ark of salvation.
Amen. Well, thank you, Dr. Ken Ham. Thank you for listening to the Washington Watch today. Tell your friends today that we are about telling the world that Jesus is the answer. All for faith and family and freedom, not only in America, but across the world.
Is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.